time for a new filter. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. Time for a new filter. Get beyond filters to the divine self. Our mind has a lot of filters that keep us from accomplishing the things that we want to accomplish, and they keep us from accomplishing what we want to accomplish basically because of one thing. We have inhibitions that keep us from going there. We have inhibitions that we were taught as children by our parents and by our schools and by our church and by ourselves. Inhibitions, fearfulness, and other things. And we want to get beyond those filters to get to our divine self. Now, and then...
Relaxing with a deep sigh.
This was said on conference already. So now I'm putting it back to dictate, and it'll probably make it different how it produces here. But anyhow, time for a new filter. All of us have interesting things going on in our life. We have all sorts of filters that keep us from accomplishing things because we don't know why. Hook him and put him over here, please, will you? We don't know why, because these have been going on for a long, long, long time. And we have had them from perhaps before we were born even, when we were in the womb. And our mother was saying, this will be an easy birth or a hard birth or whatever, you know.
Long or short?
Doesn't matter. So, Ellen is hooking up Rex now because Rex wanted to talk to Button and say, let's play. And Button is relaxing in his own way. So, Rex, sit. Good boy. Down. Good boy. Oh, you're so wonderful. You see, I've been telling Sylvia now for the last 20 years, Sylvia, sit down. You know, sit down and then lay down. And Sylvia doesn't do it. Sylvia stands up and says, why should I? Why should I do that? Why should I do that? I'm a grown woman. I can make my own decisions of what I want to do. I don't have to listen to you. I don't have to follow what you say when you say sit and down as though I'm a dog, you know. And you see how nice the dog has it when he follows the instructions, you know. And now, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You see, your brain told you, I don't have to follow instructions if I don't want to. See, it's your brain telling you that. That's because when you were a little girl, you were told to do different things and you just were very unhappy with it. You're unhappy with your mother or your brothers or somebody, or say some person from the street comes along, some man from the street. He says, hey, little girl, come here. And you says, no, you know, and you go your own way, right? Now, why didn't you go with him?
I mean, somebody said I shouldn't.
Yeah, you see, you have those filters there. Mm-hmm. Now, some filters are good, okay? Some filters are good, but most of them are not good. Most of them limit you. Now, I'm going to give you a few of the stupid filters that you have in you and let you make your own opinion about him. I'm going to die.
No.
That's a filter that's in you. And you know you're going to die. You know in your heart you're going to die. You know that you're not going to live forever because you have never met anyone who's lived forever. Not even Jesus. You know, you have never met him. You've never met anyone who lives forever. No. When illness comes along, you're going to get it. You believe that. And yes, Ellen, you're shaking your head no. But the thing is, Ellen, have you ever had a cold? Have you ever had a sore? Have you ever had a bad toe? Have you ever had a tummy that needed to be taken care of for whatever reason? See, those are the filters in you that allow you to have those things. Because, Ellen, what is our body to express? What is it to reveal? Our original purity and integrity. How can our body reveal our original purity and integrity if we are not really originally pure and integral? You know, how can it do that? It can't. But you see, we have been told, who do you think you are, the white driven snow, you know? We have been told, you think you're perfect? We have been told all of these idiotic things. And yet, going back to Jesus again, be ye perfect even as is your Father which art in heaven. Yeah. Man, oh man, that's a heavy-duty statement. We're supposed to be perfect like God? Well, that's right, because we are God. We're supposed to be perfect, and it's no problem. But we have filters built into us that tell us that that's naughty or bad or impossible, you know? And it's time that we start working on these filters. Now, many times people say, oh, it's just so wonderful. I only need 2 hours of sleep at night. I only need 3 hours of sleep at night. And the person is a remarkable person, a successful person. The person is a wide awake, alert person, a healthy person. They only need 2 or 3 hours of sleep a night. Okay? I say this to you. If that person were to get 7 or 8 hours of sleep a night, they would not only be a remarkable person, they would be an absolutely unbelievable person. They'd be fantastic beyond words. Do you understand? Because you will understand when I'm done. Okay. We have learned that during sleep, many important rejuvenating substances are created in the brain. During sleep, many important rejuvenating substances are created in the brain. Now, these rejuvenating substances that are created in the brain are providing us with the ability to do things that we didn't know we could do. And we want to do it. We want to change our filter. We want to change the filter that we have in our brain, the filter that says what you see is what you get, and what appears to be is what the only reality there is. We want to change that filter, and we want to change that filter to be perfect. Now, how do we do that? We do that by first having confidence in ourselves, believing in ourselves. Now, what's the statement you made? And then?
And then I relax and take a deep breath.
And then I relax with a deep sigh. And then relax with a deep sigh.
And then I relax with a deep sigh. And then I relax with a deep sigh. And then I relax with a deep sigh. What happens when you relax? All the tension of your body, which closes off the glands and systems that are working there, can operate more harmoniously. However, when you are tense, you shed it off. Now, do you think, are you so naive to think that this does not affect your brain? That this does not affect your brain and your head? Oh my, yes. When you can relax, then your brain can begin to function in a higher level, in a higher gear. But your brain cannot function in a higher level when you're all uptight. Now, I've told you this before, and I'll tell it to you again 1,000 times. It's my DNA. It's my chromosomes. It's my genes. It's my all these other things. Yeah, it's a family inheritance and stuff. No, where did the family first go wrong? Hey,
in putting that cause in motion.
By putting that cause in motion, the family first went wrong when they saw a symptom and then they say, "Oh, I've got," and then they got, because their body was pure and beautiful and perfect, and the body responded to anything they thought they had. And we have a tendency to read all of the medical books and medical journals and stuff that come out and look at our symptoms and say, oh, this is the name of my symptom. Oh, this is the name of this here. This is why this here. And we empower it. Now, why do we do that? Well, we want to get smart. Well, we have the opportunity to go right to the source of our wholeness and perfection. We have the opportunity to go right to the source of who we are when we say, get beyond the filters to your divine self. During sleep, many important rejuvenating substances are created in the brain. Well, whether you're sleeping or not, the rejuvenating substances are created in your brain. However, you limit them. you say that's enough. Now, what do they give a diabetic?
Insulin.
Why do they give a diabetic insulin?
Because he doesn't produce enough himself.
Because he produces insulin erratically, normally. Yeah, he doesn't produce enough, that's true, but the thing is, he produces it erratically. He produces a great amount at some times and none at another time. And so there's no balance. And so the body doesn't know how to function or operate. So when the body doesn't have enough insulin, what does it do? I'm sorry? It craves sugar. It craves sweetening. It craves all of these silly things which cause the insulin to take effect and become super effective and destroy the person. That's what diabetes is doing, see? It's destroying the person because the person has started to put these thoughts in motion. I must enunciate that clearly. You think that medicine that you put in from the outside is going to help your body. And it will. But then you got to put it in regularly. If you can start changing your filter and start putting new attitudes in your mind about yourself, then you will have a new body. It is the body that was always there. You're merely revealing it. You're merely revealing the body that was always there and that's perfect and you want it to express. Now, how do you go about putting new thoughts in motion? Well, we all know that. We affirm things. And I'm sick. I'm tired. Oh, everything in my world is just going to pot. Oh, I've got these symptoms, so that means I got this. I'm hungry. I'm full. I'm tired. I'm awake. I'm alert. I'm sleepy. Those are simple little things, but what do they do to us? What do? They tell us we got a problem. And then we respond to that problem with every organ, action, and function of our body. I'm whole and perfect. Every organ, action, function of my body says I'm whole and perfect, whole and perfect, whole and perfect. I'm sick, I'm sick, I'm sick. Every organ, action, function of our body, I'm sick, I'm sick, I'm sick. It says that. Whatever you want to name and claim, that's what you experience. Now, people laugh at affirmations and they say, oh, that's not that easy. Well, affirmations are not easy. Affirmations are tough. It's tough to put an affirmation in motion when you have an apparent appearance and illusion of something that's not happy. And you say, I'm whole and perfect. And you feel like you're going to die, you know. You feel sick as a dog. Excuse me, Rex. You feel sick as whatever sickness is. But no, you don't allow yourself to play in that game. Now, you go down the street. And as you go down, let's just say you go to El Central. You know where El Central is?
Yeah.
You go to El Central. And you're going to El Central in the planting season. And El Central stinks to the high heaven of uric acid. Because they use uric acid to fertilize their crops. And they have five crops a year down there. Real nice. And, oh, man, does that get to you. It gets to you. And if you live there, oh, boy. But if you're there for an hour or two, pretty soon you acclimate to it and you don't even smell it. You don't even smell that is penetrating into your lungs, penetrating into your body, penetrating into you, and you don't even realize it. Now, people have learned to live with that because it's a very financially successful type of thing, and they've learned to live with it. Now, a father changing a baby's diaper finds it not as pleasant as the mother. The mother loves that kid so much, she doesn't even smell the diapers, you understand? She doesn't smell the barfing. And if the kid barfs on her, she just brushes it off. Any other person comes along, yuck, you know, how terrible. But you see, this is what we are doing. We are training ourselves to accept those negative things in our life, like the smells and things like that. And ignoring them. Instead of saying, what? About the smell. What should we say about the smell? Should we ignore the smell? Or should we say, my baby, hey, all shit doesn't stink. May I say that?
Yeah.
All defecation does not smell. It only smells when certain things have been going on in the body and it's dumping out certain toxins and so forth, and then the odor is there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, can you say that my baby has bowel movements that are sweet as roses? Yes, you can. And have them really be sweet as roses, not as shit, not stinky, you know. And you have them be sweet as roses by putting the cause in motion. Now, how many mothers think to do that with their kid? All mothers, not all, let's say most mothers, live in El Centro. And they get used to the smell and they don't smell it anymore, okay?
Mm.
They don't realize that they could be teaching their children that their bowel movements are sweet as roses. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
What would happen to that child throughout its entire life? It would have bowel movements that are sweet as roses. It would not have putrid gas coming out. Why do cows have this terrible methane gas that comes out of them, you know? Because everybody expects the methane gas to come out of them. From the first cow who had a bloated interior because it ate too much grass and didn't have enough balance of other things, the methane came out. Well, now, if the first farmer who had a cow that way would say, all your passages of air from your body are like roses, you know. Maybe you don't like roses, but are sweet smelling, you know. And you don't have to see sweet smelling. Have no odor. Wouldn't that be nice? No odor at all. No smell at all. No roses. No nothing. You know? All right. Now, what would have happened? All cows would have had their flatulence coming out. You know what flatulence is?
Mm-hmm.
They had this flatulence coming out without any odor. Now, a mother can have her baby have its flatulence without any odor if she chooses to. And not only the flatulence, but the defecation itself. Now, why don't we do that? Because we have been trained over the years, that this is the way it is. Now, does every one of your bowel movements smell bad?
No.
Perhaps even the majority don't. When you have a bad one, you know that you've been eating something that didn't agree to you, and you could have said at the time you eat this, perfect in, perfect out, you know, no problem. Or if you say, my bowel movements never have an odor, then they wouldn't. You say, well, Herb, you're certainly dwelling on that. Mm-hmm. Well, that's an easy thing to do. Well, you go down to El Centro, and the uric acid there is so overwhelming that, now, why does uric acid have to have that overwhelming odor to it? Because people believe it. Now, do you think if all of the people and the farmers and everybody down in El Centro were to say that uric acid is placid, it has no odor, what would happen? The first thing is the farmers would object, hey, where's that odor? That's not really uric acid, because uric acid has odor, you see. It's got to have the odor. And so, you see, they believe in that, and they know that that's true. So what are they going to do? What are they going to do? They're going to be in trouble. Because if it has been created without an odor, what do they do with propane gas? Tell me.
They put an odor in it
so you can smell it. Because the propane gas is heavier than air, and it rolls along the ground, and you could have it in your presence and not know it, and it could kill you and do a number of other things, you know, cause an explosion and what have you. So they put an odor in it. Now, isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Propane has no odor, and gasoline has an odor. Interesting, huh? Mm-hmm. Why does anything have an odor? Because we name it and claim it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we want to change our filters. And we change our filters by simply saying, I am master of myself. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. My body is the temple of the living spirit. Every organ, action, function of my body is perfect. We say these great things, and we say them. And then, as we walk around, do you ever say, I wonder when I'm going to stub my toe again?
No.
If you go around the corner of your bed and you stub your toe on the bed once, you'll be thinking about when you're going to stub it again.
No.
Yes, you do. You do. I like it that you say no, but the thing is, you do it because that's what you have in your consciousness. Now, if you don't have stubbing your toe in your consciousness, it's because you don't have stubbing your toe in your consciousness. Your toe is always going where it's supposed to go.
Right.
It always slides around corners. It always does whatever it's supposed to do. But you see, it's not that you don't stub your toe. It's that your toe always knows where to go. And that's what you want to teach yourself. Your toe always knows where to go. Your flatulence always has a non-odor, you know. And many people have become so accustomed to food cooking, they say, "Ooh, dinner, I'm hungry as a bear, I could eat a horse," you know. Shut up. You cannot eat a horse. You are not hungry as a bear. You delight in mealtime because it's a festive time, a time of sharing. It's a time where you eat something that you don't need, but you eat it and it's pleasant. But you don't say, "I could eat a horse." That's a simple comment. Something similar to that you say about it, but don't do that. "I could eat a gallon of ice cream," you know, and all these silly things. Now, we put the cause in motion for all of our problems. And we want to put the cause in motion for all of our solutions. What solution do you want in life for yourself? What solution do you want in your experience? Are you going to be the master of yourself? Are you going to realize that when you go to sleep at night, that all of your cells are rejuvenated in the proper order? Do you realize you don't need sleep to have that happen? But this is something that scientists have found out happens. They have found out that when the body is at total rest, hey, what's that mean? Say it.
I relax with a deep sigh.
I relax with a deep sigh. It's the same as sleeping, isn't it? I relax with a deep sigh. The moment something challenges me, the first thing I do, I relax with a deep sigh. Well, you're not taking responsibility. You're not worried about it. You're not challenged by it. Nope. I relax with a deep sigh. And when you relax with a deep sigh, then you know exactly what to do. You know exactly what to do. They have found by giving young people quizzes in school that if before the quiz, you know, Lazanov, Gregor Lazanov of what it Pennsylvania, wherever he is, he created this program with music in the background while students were studying.
Super learning,
yeah. And it works great. And as the kids listen to this music in the background, their learning capacity increased from 30 to 80% or from 100 to 300%. Interesting, huh? Mm-hmm. Now, what is it the music does? The music relaxes you. The music takes some of your attention that has been going to being concerned about whether you can study or whether you can learn and makes you feel relaxed. Now, train yourself to be relaxed. I relax with a big sigh and I feel wonderful. All of our problems go away when we relax with a big sigh. Now, we're going to be talking more about this in the days to come. But what happens when we relax? We become more responsible. Sylvia, why can't you think of the answer? You know that answer. You've had that answer in your head for 100 years now. Why can't you think of it? Sylvia, why can't you think of it? You see, she's not relaxed. And the minute we leave, the minute Sylvia goes into her room, she's, here's the answer. Why didn't I think of it when they were here, you know? Because you weren't relaxed, you see? So if we can train ourselves to be relaxed, this knowledge which we have all knowledge in us, it reveals itself to us. And the aha experience is the experience of being aware that you always knew it and knowing it and using it. Yes. Let's realize that. That's pretty important. Let's change the filter inside of us. The filter that we've been using is I can't, it won't, it won't. And now the filter is I can, I do, it is done, I know. All these good things, you know. So I have these filters on sale now, especially from our own private factory, and we're selling them for $1 million each. Now, how many do you want?
Two.
Two. Ingeborg?
For each side of the brain.
How many do you want?
I want three.
Oh, what are you going to do with the third one? A reserve?
It's always good to have a reserve.
Good for you. Ellen?
One filter which does everything.
That's good too. Okay, you got it.
And thank you.
Your credit is good with me.
Okay.
All right.
I love you. I love you. I love you.
Love you.